Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I was looking at a metaphysical event known as Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo, which is basically a big long name for a New Age expo. And this week I wanted to look at the obvious dangers and answers to occultic activity without and within the churches these days. What do we do or we say when people ask about visualization techniques to help improve our golf game or make our life better in some way, or energetic healing like Reiki? Reiki would be a form of energy healing. And I'm repeating myself from last week as we get going again here, but, you know, just because you may get results from something doesn't mean that it's biblical, safe, or approved by God. We talked a bit about the girl in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, and, you know, she got results with her soothsaying. The demon that infested her was able to give out information that was valuable to those who contacted her masters. In fact, so valuable that they were paid well, and they were in fact angered when Paul the Apostle cast this demon out of her, of course, because she was causing confusion and causing people to believe that what Paul the Apostle was preaching was just one of many ways to salvation. That's what the demon in this girl was spewing forth before the Apostle Paul cast the demon out of her. Now, if there is no scriptural warrant for using any of the psychotechnologies, which I mentioned last week, the ones in particular that I had in mind were creative visualization, hypnosis, and contemplative prayer. And of course, as you'll see, there's different names for various these three basic things we want to look over. And we probably won't get through all three today. We've touched on these in past episodes of my program, but I had some more information I wanted to share in regards to this event that took place recently. If you go back about a month and a half in my archives, you can see more detail of what was taking place in that event. And I touched on it last week. I didn't want to spend a whole lot more time with that, going over the same ground. But as I said last week, if there is no scriptural warrant for using these psychotechnologies, or any for that matter, I'm talking specifically about the three I just mentioned, these psychotechnologies, which can open a door to the demonic and affect us in a negative spiritual way, then we should definitely steer clear of them. Listen to the titles of some of the books that I have recommended in the past. These, of course, are Christian books, but listen to these titles. Seduction of Christianity by Dave Hunt. The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. The Light That Was Dark by Warren Smith. Now, these last two books, they give a firsthand testimony to the danger of these practices from now converted Christians. They've been converted, and they've shared their experience of how they got out, how they were deceived, and then how God led them out. But what a scary situation it was for them, and how they were delivered, just as the girl in the book of Acts was delivered. Maybe not exactly the same way, of course. I don't think demons were cast out of Johanna or Warren, but demons were expelled from their life in the sense that they were no longer able to oppress, deceive, and mislead them. Okay, let's look at some of these practices and what others have said about them. Creative visualization. Now, I have a definition that I got from a book called The Idiot's Guide to Being Psychic, or The Complete Idiot's Guide to Being Psychic. I'm sure you've seen these complete idiot guides. And, you know, I have to say that it's probably not a bad title for this book, you know, because basically, if you go down that road, I think you're being a complete idiot, okay? Let me just throw it out there for you, because I care enough to tell you the truth. That always seems to get me in trouble. But anyway, from that book, which, of course, is not a Christian book, I would say, though, it appears as a secular book, as they have many secular titles dealing with many different issues or different things they want to teach you about. In this case, I would say it's really more of an occult book because of the sources that they reference and that they go to. But first of all, in that book, the definition of creative visualization. The idea that mentally creating a visual image promotes a desired outcome. This image is often called to mind during meditation or deep relaxation. And, you know, I picked up a natural living journal, it's called, Well-Being for Body, Emotions, Mind, and Spirit. And basically, it's a pretty much a New Age magazine, although there's a lot of information about health and nutrition, and a lot of which is probably good and accurate. You find a lot of these things in New Age, I mean, in health health food stores, etc. But the advice, the spiritual advice, of course, is toxic. It's anything but natural or organic. When I think of natural and organic, I think, oh, well, that's good for me. Well, this is not. Anyway, Visualize Your Way to Success by Jenny Boyce. If you aren't experiencing the success you'd like to see in your life, try visualization. It's important to have a clear picture of what we want to do, be, and have so we can create a clear vision in our mind. When we focus on this clear picture through visualization, our emotions shift. We start feeling the way we would if we were actually experiencing those things, which shifts our vibration. Our vibration in turn attracts the visions we are playing in our mind. You hear a lot about vibrations and vibratory rates and all types of strange things in New Age circles. Anyway, moving down the page, says next focus on your connection to your source, higher self, God. And of course, there's where the danger comes, of course, as this is not the God of the Bible. This is not God at all. This is demonic and demonic counterfeits of God. Connecting yourself with the divine expands your awareness even more, opening you up to even more possibilities. Connection to God / higher self / source. See yourself as whole. Visualize yourself connected to your source. See your connection as a cord of light that connects you and grows stronger each day. See yourself tuned in to your inner guidance, clearly receiving information about where to place your energy and focus. And remember, you know, someone had asked me in my Sunday school class about, well, you know, what's the problem with creative visualization, you know, like for making you a better golfer or whatever. And this is, of course, where we're wanting to warn people of what seems like such a subtle, helpful type thing and the potential dangers that exist. Now, speaking earlier of Johanna Michelson, in her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, she has some very interesting comments from her autobiography of her experience in the group called Silva Mind Control, founded by Jose Silva. They have another name today. I forgot exactly what they go by now. I guess Silva Mind Control. Somehow that doesn't sound, you know, I mean, does that sound like cultic enough for you? Silva Mind Control. I want to join a group that involves mind control, right? Anyway, this book, of course, was written many years ago, but she says the whole purpose of mind control is to train people to gain control over the more stable alpha brain waves to help them become superior human beings. This, of course, is what her guru, I suppose you could say, Tom, who was teaching her in all of this, in this course, in this mind control group, the Silva Mind Control. So I'm not stating these as fact, of course. She's stating this is what she was being taught falsely. The producing of phenomena not common to most of us at ordinary levels will be your final proof that you are indeed gaining mastery of your alpha waves. And then he goes on to say, or she quotes him as saying, let me make one thing clear. What you will be doing is not hypnosis. Now, you know, remember what I said. We're looking at three different things that all involve altered states of consciousness. The three things that I mentioned that we're looking at, including hypnosis. And I don't think there's a whole lot of difference. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference in the effect, let's say, that what takes place from these psychotechnologies. Let me make one thing clear. And by the way, later he mentions Edgar Cayce, and we'll get to that, who actually unlock the realm of the psychic through hypnosis. But anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me make one thing clear. What you will be doing is not hypnosis. At no time will you relinquish control of your mind to anyone else. Rather, you will learn to tap into those deep levels of mind at will for any purpose you desire, as long as it is beneficial to yourself or mankind. From what I could gather, Tom was implying that there was nothing a controlled mind could not do, from developing genius potential and overcoming bad habits to healing diseases and literally moving mountains. Okay, she goes on to say, and again, quoting Tom, also, you'll be shown how to use a large mental screen, like a movie screen, to aid visualization and to continue to expand your consciousness. It certainly sounded worth a try. That next Saturday morning, June 26th, which, by the way, is my birthday. It just struck me. Anyway, that's irrelevant. But that next Saturday morning, June 26th, found Mother and myself, Johanna's mother, and myself stretched out side by side on the floor of a spacious but rustic living room, listening to an assertive voice read our programming, that is, taped rounds of a metronome clicking and whirled monotonously, providing a soothing background. I took a deep breath and relaxed. It sounds like white noise, the idea of the concept of white noise, where you have a radio that's between stations and just a monotonous or a soothing background, whatever, how soothing that is. Anyway, I gave myself joyfully to these sessions, desperately clinging to everything Tom had to say as though they were the words of my salvation. I had returned to Mexico from Chapel Hill in North Carolina in despair and turmoil. I could see no hope, no light anywhere, no chance of ever breaking free from the forces which surrounded me. My copies of the King James Bible, The Power of Positive Thinking, of course, Norman Vincent Peale, and The Power of Prayer had done little to help. Here with mind control, however, was my salvation indeed. It was possible to gain control over unknown forces, to gain power and victory over them, and I thank God for it. I let the phrases spoken by Tom during each session wash over me. Every day and every way, I'm getting better, better, and better. By the way, that's a quote from Emil Cooey, who was really kind of one of the early promoters of or helped lead people to the ideas of hypnosis, etc. Anyway, I just remembered that was his name, Emil Cooey, C-O-U-E. Every day and every way, I am getting better, better and better. I have full and complete dominion over my senses and faculties at this level of mind, or at any level, including the outer conscious level, as this is so. I am always in control. Words of hope and freedom. On the third day, we began learning how to use visualization and image creation to help us develop our intuition and subjective communication, obscure terms used to describe ESP, which Tom called not extrasensory perception, but rather effective sensory projection. Okay, moving on down the page. You still need to create your laboratory, he says, before we're through for today. This laboratory was a room of our own choosing, which we created in our minds. It was to be our haven and refuge, our place for solving problems, all done, of course, mentally. Our laboratory is now complete. We were ready to receive our counselors. We were told these counselors could be anyone we chose, from Buddha to Grandma Moses, but we were not to be surprised by who actually showed up. They frequently were not the ones expected. And I'll reference that again in another book later concerning visualization. They make the same comment. There was no question at all in my mind whom I wanted for my counselors. There was no higher source of wisdom to whom I could appeal than Jesus. I wondered if it was a presumptuous request, but then remembered Jesus has said in the Bible, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in," Revelation 3:20. Of course, she was quoting that out of context and didn't know any better at the time, because she wasn't, immersed in the Bible yet and truly born again, I believe. Although she thought she was saved, and again, we'll get into that a little bit later too, as that's happened to more than one person that thought they knew Christ, but then ended up in occultism. So I felt on that basis, perhaps, he wouldn't mind, Jesus, that is. Then, as we were told a female counselor was necessary, I decided upon Sarah Bernhardt. Having long since reached the conclusion I was not, after all, Sarah's reincarnation, I thought it might be nice to have her in residence. I don't recall exactly who Sarah Bernhardt was. I know she was a historical figure, but I can't remember exactly what she was famous for. But obviously, someone of import to Johanna. As my door came down, the room was filled with a radiant light that emanated from the figure standing behind it. Slowly, an inch at a time, the figure emerged, shimmering brown hair parted in the middle, a high forehead, dark skin, eyes brown, deep and gentle. There, it was Jesus. The door went down, now of its own accord, revealing the rest of the figure, which was robed in a long white linen garment. He was glowing with a holy radiance and smiling softly. I stood, then fell at his feet. And of course, as you probably have figured out, this was another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, as you will find out later as we continue to look down the road at this story of her experience. But I want to turn quickly to a man by the name of John Rogers. That was a pseudonym that he went by. And as he spoke in his book, Life 101, which was co-written by someone named Peter McWilliams, he talks about a laboratory type of place. And I've talked about this in another one of my podcasts, but I thought it would be appropriate to mention this again, that so you can see that this is all part of this whole visualization concept and psychotechnology, spiritual psychotechnology. In a sense, he says in this book, it's unfortunate the term visualization has become the almost exclusive word for any work done in the imagination. Now he mentions the sanctuary. A sanctuary is an inner retreat you build with visualization in your imagination. Here you can discover the truth about yourself and work to affirm it or make it firm. We call it a sanctuary. Some call it a workshop or an inner classroom. Johanna's Silva mind control friend Tom called it the laboratory. But anyway, a place you can go to learn your lessons in peace and harmony. We refer to it as a sanctuary. Now I have another book. This is called Visualization for Change. And this book, written by Patrick Fanning, has a preface by C. Norman Shealy, MD, PhD. And remember that name, C. Norman Shealy. You'll find his name oftentimes in books pertaining to so-called holistic healing. And I'm talking about the holistic healing that's not the good kind. I mean, in other words, not preventative medicine so much, but sometimes the term holistic medicine can be used synonymously with New Age healing, etc. And you'll find this man's name, C. Norman Shealy, oftentimes associated. Of course, he's an MD, but I don't think I would want to be part of his practice, put it that way. Anyway, these are some quotes from the book. Martrick McKay, a PhD, author of the Relaxation Workbook and Self-Esteem, says this is the most complete, sensible, and useful book on visualization I've seen. It's bound to become a standard reference against which all future books on visualization will be measured. And then Diane Erdley, professor of immunology at the University of California, Santa Barbara, says visualization for change gives a clear, concise, and accurate picture of the workings of the immune system. Now, you know, what's taking place, of course, is that this book wants to appear mainstream. Of course, quoting these various individuals is part of the way of doing that. But it wants to appear mainstream rather than occultic. And but these comments help to give it that air of mainstream type book. Nothing to fear here, folks. Nothing to see here. Move on. Some of the at the bottom of the back of the page, these are the contents chapters. or some of the contents of the book, Visualization as a Voice for Change, How and Why Visualization Works, Rules for Effective Visualization, Creating Your Special Place, and here's the dinger, Finding Your Inner Guide. Remember Johanna's inner guides, you know, Jesus and Sarah Bernhardt. Only Jesus, as we'll find out later, and Sarah didn't prove to be who they claimed to be. And then applications for self-improvement, and I won't go down the list, but you know, it's the typical weight control, non-smoking, et cetera, stress reduction, self-esteem. Applications for therapy, insomnia, depression, for healing and pain control. So it just really claims that this visualization, I guess we might as well throw your golf game in there too, huh? But anyway, appears to be mainstream until, you know, you turn to page 55, which is the chapter on finding your inner guide. I want to read a little of that to you, and this will probably sound familiar, some of it. Okay, it is easier to go to Mars or to the moon than it is to penetrate one's own being, and that's by the famous psychologist Carl Jung, and we'll have a lot to say about him later as well. This is the last of the must-read, must-do chapters, according to the author in this book. When you've completed this chapter, you will have all the basic skills you need to practice visualization for change. You'll have two special places in which to relax or stage a visualization, and you'll have an inner guide to serve you in many ways. Your inner guide is an imaginary person, animal, or other being that you invent to help you solve problems or answer questions. Your inner guide is the personification of your inner wisdom. It's your unconscious, all-knowing mind, given a form and a voice. Inner guides can take many forms: wizard, priestess, old woman, circus ringleader, angel, Greek goddess, stag, space alien, grandfather, old childhood friend, movie star, demon. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't say demon. I threw that in there. but, you know, the idea that this is just an imaginary person, of course, turns shallow when you hear some of the testimonies of some of the people like Johanna Michelson and John Roger and others. And we'll get back to John Roger later as well. Your inner guide helps by being a channel for messages from your unconscious. Consulting inner guide. So in other words, yeah, I mean, the idea from the New Age magazine I read earlier that you want to contact your inner self or your God self or whatever, that's where this is going with this so-called mainstream type book. Characteristics of your inner guide. An inner guide can be someone you know or have met, someone who is now dead, a character in a book, play, or movie, someone out of myth and legend, or an entirely imaginary being that just feels right to you. It doesn't matter whether your inner guide is of the same or opposite sex. Now, the Silva mind control instructor said that Johanna needed a female to go along with the male. So, you know, some of these folks have a different way of doing their thing with their visualization and their inner guides. The most important characteristic is that your inner guide is wiser and smarter than your conscious mind. Your inner guide knows everything you have ever experienced or thought, even things you didn't consciously notice at the time. Your inner guide isn't confused by emotions or complexity. Your inner guide can arrive at correct conclusions and decisions directly by intuition without having to go through a long chain of logical reasoning and rationalizations. You can communicate verbally or non-verbally with your inner guide. Goes on to say, sometimes your inner guide may show you visions, little visualizations within a visualization that provide you with insightful answers. Like the Oracle at Delphi, your guide may sometimes be cryptic or silent. Now, the Oracle at Delphi, I actually visited Delphi where the Oracle used to be, and the Oracle at Delphi was a woman who even Alexander the Great had consulted for, for guidance, because she was thought to be in contact with spirits, you know, beyond the natural, supernatural spirits, what have you. It goes on here to say your inner guide can show up anywhere in your visualizations. You can call your guide into your special place for a consultation, or take your guide along on any kind of imaginary exploration, or encounter your guide somewhere along the way, either by plan or unexpectedly. Treating your inner guide like your best friend is a way to build your self-confidence and self-esteem. And then finally, at the end of this page, finally, you must pay attention to the rule of visualization that says, take what you get. Your inner guide may not live up to your expectations. You may start the exercises below expecting to find a beautiful Indian maiden or Gandalf the Wise, only to find out with the nerd who broke your bike in fifth grade or a dwarf smoking a cigar. And again, we will see who Johanna Michelson found her guides to be later down the road. Sarah had an unusual guide. It was a black panther. She could look into its eyes and communicate telepathically. Jean had three guides. The first was a little girl who looked like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. And then moving on to Larry, his guide was an old wise man. He looked like a cross between Buddha and Willie Nelson. So you get the idea that these are visualized beings, which they claim, this particular author claims, are not real, not real beings or whatever. But believe me, you can quickly find out that there's substance, so to speak, to these beings, spiritual substance, I should say, to these imaginary beings. Now, in Life 101, the John Roger book, he talks about a master teacher as part of his visualization exercises. It says, this is your ideal teacher, the being with whom you are the perfect student. The master teacher knows everything about you, has always been with you, in fact. The master teacher always also knows all you need to learn, the perfect timing for your learning, and the ideal way of teaching it to you. You don't create a master teacher. That's already been done. You discover your master teacher. To meet your master teacher, simply walk over to your people mover. Ask for your master teacher to come forth, and from the pure white light of your people mover comes your master teacher. Now, he refers to this people mover in his book. This is a device to move people in and out of your sanctuary, or as Johanna would call it, your laboratory. No one ever enters without your express permission and invitation. You can use an elevator, conveyor belt, Star Trek beam-up device, beam-me-up device, or anything else that moves people. So this is what he claims to be, you know, how to contact your master teacher. And I would just say, don't go there. And I would be remiss with the time that I have, that's short, to not mention the fact that Roma Downey actually went to this man's university, John Roger. I've said that at other times. And I'm running out of time, so we'll get into that more next time as we continue to look at these dangerous psychotechnologies that Satan offers, but you should definitely stay away from. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.